This conference is being recorded.
Okay, well, now we're recording. Don, this is a mini fundraiser. This is 6-1-2015. How much money, you know, we pay CBS for these calls to be broadcast on the Internet. How much money do we owe you?
You want me to say that?
Live to your audience?
I'm gonna, because I want them to make donations. So
okay,
we can
I would say it's closing in on a couple G's.
A couple G's. It's like $2,500, and Don is very nice. He never threatens to throw me off if I don't pay him. So if anybody wants to help, particularly if you're listening on the Internet, you know, if everyone donated $5 or $10, we usually pull the money as much as we can out of other money to pay Don, but we're low and we keep falling behind. So this is not my gig. This is our gig, and if you guys want to support it, go to donations.intelligent-infinity.com, or tomorrow you could call our phone number, 805-267-9263. And is that right, Terry? 805-267-9263. That's right. Yeah. And Terry might even answer the phone. And she loves collecting money. 805-267-9263. So we don't have to raise the whole $2,500, but Don likes us to keep within $2,000 to collect $100, so Don will be happy, at least temporarily happy. If we collect more, all of this money, anything we collect goes to Don. And Don, thank you for your patience and telling everybody how much we owe. Okay.
Well, it's my pleasure. We love you. We really do win. And folks, you know, we're not sponsor advertiser material. You know, we pretty much get our funds from the hosts, and we allow the hosts then to gain their own sponsors and advertisers without us ripping them off. So it's a different way of doing business. I appreciate you donating what you can in order to help facilitate Wynn's program, because, hey, this program is a one-of-a-kind program, and without it, we'd all lose. So, Wynn, we love you. Thank you for being a part of BBS Radio. And to your audience, have a great broadcast.
Well, thank you, Don. All right, that's... did you guys all...
Yes.
Donations.intelligent-infinity. Doesn't have to be a lot, you know. There's enough people on this call. If everyone donated $5... We would seriously, you know, take our money back, okay?
Can we have the phone number once more?
805, what is that, Terry? 805-267-9263. And if Terry doesn't answer, Sedona Jim will answer. Hi, this is Sedona Jim. What can I do? And be sure and ask Jim, what are you making for dinner tonight, Jim? All right. Well, thank you all.
We one more time on that phone number,
805-267-9263.
9263.
Right.
Got it.
Okay. So let's see here. If you
all callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
If you've been reading our emails, Ed's phone is ringing off the hook, and we had one person that initially had a good experience, then she started going into some negative experiences.
Been there real quick, because the last time the 805 number was repeated was incorrect. It was 805-267-9263.
Yes. Okay. So people keep getting amazing results with Edspina. And it's worth trying it. And I'm sure somebody is not going to feel anything. I'm sure that's going to happen. But his numbers are too high that it's only $40. I can't remember. I think he gives a money-back guarantee, but I'm not sure of that. But I have gotten so many people getting amazing experiences. And even if it's something like you need to do, like a tune-up once a month, once every 2 months, I think if you get a session from Ed and you're coming to our Sunday calls, the two things work together. And Susan Rush is, oh, I shouldn't have said her name. I didn't say her name. This lady in Delaware. I'm not going to read it, okay? Okay, because I don't think I was supposed to say her name. So, whoever that was, but I'm not saying their name, is one of the most difficult people. I've been searching for people for some time to help clear her. And I think she had a great experience recently with Ed. Now, what was sick, you know, keep in mind, it's just like the calls, like everything else. It's like there's work you have to do. And part of the work is figuring out what you do to bring in those negative entities or whatever. You have to figure it out, and you have to stop doing it. Otherwise, they'll come back. But if they come back, at least you can keep getting rid of them for not that much money, okay? So in any case, just reiterating, and sorry, the person in Delaware, if she's going to get a really angry email from her saying, why did you say my name? So I blew it, okay, for a change. All right, now, I announced that we were going to do a replay today. I thought this was an extraordinary call. It's also the call where Terry talked about Carla contacting us after she died. And this is 57 minutes, 67. So it's going to, let me see. I don't know if I should, I'll try to run it forward so we get the whole thing, because it's a 57-minute call. And I thought it was quite extraordinary. It's one of those calls where I put together information from, you know, all the study of the raw material, the Jesus material, the Terry Friedman material, the Elohim material, and wherever else, you know, Michael Schellinger, and put together something that no one ever put together before about the big picture of things. And I can't say that I'm, you know, I can't absolutely say this is true, but it all makes a lot of sense. It intuitively puts a lot of stuff together. So here we go. I'm going to play it. And then, hi, are you going to be, hi, are you there?
Yes.
Was that a picture? Hi, you sent me that picture of you. Was that Carolyn?
Yes.
Who was that, Carol, from Uganda?
Yes, uh-huh. I met her yesterday.
Okay. Can I send it to everybody? Everyone love to see it?
No, that's not a good picture of me.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I regret sending it to you.
Well,
this was my first selfie.
What's that?
I'll pay you $5 when if you send it to me.
$5?
$5!
I send another picture of you. Everyone wants to know what you look like, okay?
You have another one you got from online some time ago.
That one's okay? That one's
right.
Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And Chris in Memphis, who, I thought, I see him now saying all this stuff. I think it's okay with him.
Chris is on the line. You want to ask him?
Chris, are you on the line?
Yes. Here, let me unmute him. Chris.
Yeah, man, I'm here.
Yeah, man, I'm here. Can I talk about you in front of your back?
Of course you can.
So, you know, Chris has been Now, I don't know if this is sticking or not, so we'll find out. But Chris has been dealing with a lot of entities, or I don't know if it's a lot or just one big bad one. But he's been under attack. I mean, at times he's emailed me and thought he was ready to win. Don't let me die yet. I'm not ready. Okay. And he had a session with Ed Spina. And part of Chris's background is he went through uncontrolled substances for a while. And that attracts things to you. You know, if you're even marijuana, I mean, if some of you think it's okay because it's legal, and I don't care, do it. But marijuana, alcohol, and all that stuff opens your auric field, and it makes you a target for entities. And if you have that in your background, and even if you're not doing it now, you might have some hitchhikers, and it's worth trying it out and see if they go. And if you're doing it now, stop doing it, because even if you get one of these sessions and you continue to do that, you're probably going to pull it back in. But, Chris, you want to share your experience? Is it sticking?
After I got the CD, and I felt a little something when I did the CD, but after I called him, he said, I've had more stuff cleared than anyone else he's ever seen to be cleared, and I cleared it. And he said, from now on, keep away from the old patterns, and I should be good to go higher purpose and all that stuff.
Has it been sticking? I mean, like, have you been feeling pretty clear since you had the session?
Yeah. See, I just talked to him today, too, because my uncle's funeral was Friday, and we went through some stuff and all that. And I just called him up and asked him, and he said, keep away from the old patterns, man, and don't bring them back in.
I mean, Ed is a really nice guy. He doesn't charge very much for this. And if somebody calls him, he still talks to him. Did he charge you to talk to you today? He didn't charge you, did he?
No, he didn't.
No.
No.
So he keeps his finger on people. And
he told me to keep in touch, too, you know.
Yeah. And so, I put his contact number again on the end today. And let's start this session. This is a couple of months ago. And I hope I'm playing the right one. I think so. And I'm just going to go to sleep and let it run. Here we go. All right, this is April 13th, 2015. Wynn and Terry in Sedona. Highs in Megalia. All of you, wherever you are. And Brad from Los Angeles thinks we're a bunch of drunks. Okay? I don't know. That's not true, Brad. But you know what? What's happened is the people that keep coming into our calls kind of all get to feel like they know each other, and they kind of get kind of silly at the beginning of the calls. I didn't encourage that. I'm usually not even there. I usually come in at just on the hour or 1 minute after. So the day I got here a little early, we are recording. And, the premise of these calls is that I talk and Terry makes noises on her phone, and then she mutes herself, and she forgets to unmute herself when she's supposed to talk. Is that right, Terry? Now I'm going to get a bunch of emails from people telling me that I'm harassing you, right?
And can you fast forward?
I'm going to move this forward. So we call it.
I'm not getting it.
And she's hanging around a particular group. So she may come back. All right? And it was on today's email. You can donate anything you want, $1, $2, $50, you know. But if you've loved Carla, and you think it's possible she's going to appreciate these flowers. You can even send a comment, which we will put a booklet of all the emails people sent me, is that Jesus was connected to the rock group. And somebody can read them. Okay, so now, I'm going to start the call. This is Wynn live, and I just need to cut 12 minutes because I got 50, it's called 57, 47, 46, 45.
45 minutes left.
45 minutes. 45. Here we go. On with the call for tonight. I said I was going to bring up some new information about the whole Anunnaki Egypt Jesus thing. And, you know, we've done some really breakthrough calls in the past on this topic. Breakthrough, stuff that we're putting stuff together that I don't believe has ever been put together in this realm before. And it might be wrong. I might be making a mistake somewhere along the line. I'm willing to be open to that. But I might be right. And you can decide because you'll see how I put stuff together. Okay? Like, who is Jesus? Where did Jesus come from? Well, one of the things that I had three fairly good pieces of evidence for is that Jesus was connected to the Ra group. And it was part of the plan of the Ra group to attempt to lift this, the vibration of this realm. And of course, the Ra group is the group soul that was talking through Edgar Cayce, talking through David Wilcock, talking to the Egyptian pharaoh Akhenaten, according to Carla Rucker, and made an intervention on an early life of Edgar Cayce, 10,500 B.C. So, how do I come to the conclusion that the Ra group was connected to Jesus? So I'll give you all the points. The first point that came to me was in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, in one of the channelings that David was doing, there was just one sentence. And I read that sentence and I said, wonder what they mean by this. And so, the paraphrase of the sentence goes, Christianity was our religion, but we don't often speak in those terms anymore because of the way it got distorted by religion, by the church, okay? Now they say, Christianity was our religion. What does that mean? What do they mean by being our religion? Sounds like they had something to do with it. Now, they never talked about it any further, just that one sentence leaked through. And then Edgar Cayce, he obviously had a voice talking through him that was able to do all these things. And his voice never really said who they were. And he thought it was Christ. Now, Edgar Cayce was religious. It's very interesting how religious people, people who are Christians, get connected with this stuff, and they still are Christians. You see, my take is it's the same energy. Carla Rucker, who we were talking about, who passed. Carla Rucker went to church a good portion of her life. And then she started channeling Ra. And you know what? She never made the connection of Ra connecting to Jesus. But she really adored Jesus. She would have said, Jesus is my personal guide. And then she could channel the Ra group with no compromise. Normally, if somebody's a Christian and they get exposed to channeling, they will either think it's demonic or they'll do a different take on their Christianity. But both Carla and Edgar Casey were both Christians, and they both were channeling Ra. And, you know, now Ra is not official for Edgar Casey, but it's obvious to me that's who he was channeling. And then myself, I have two women who have been in my life who are channels. And in, with Daphne, in early on, I asked the question, when Jesus said, Father, who was speaking through him? And the answer was the Ra group. And then that same information came through Terry. And then there's this book, Voyagers, that was a very obscure book and very hard to understand, but in one section, they said in that book that the Ra group was responsible, the Ra Confederacy is what they called them, was responsible for removing the seals from the chakras or helping a person do that so they could ascend into the higher realms. Okay? Then they said in religion this was often referred to as Judgment Day, but it really wasn't judgment. It was just that they were protecting the higher realms so that only those beings who were honoring the law of one could ascend or get there, okay? And so now, again, talking about ascending, talking about harvesting, talking about graduating this realm, and the Ra group is the main player in that book. It all starts to fit together. Ra has something to do with Jesus. But let's look at the long story now. Why? How does Ra work? How does the Elohim work? And what's the track line to bring this together? Well, we did a bunch of calls on this, and I'm pretty sure there's enough backup to what I'm going to say that it's true. And I'm not going to give all the backup, but there was this civilization in Sumeria. Sumeria, I believe, is Iraq or Iran now, in that area. And it is the oldest civilization of recorded history. And there was a Jewish scholar by the name of Zachariah Sitchin that supposedly translated Sumerian tablets and came out with a number of books on it. And he was saying that he was finding that the Sumerians, there was an alien ET race that landed here to do gold mining, and their bodies were not suitable for physical labor in this realm, so they genetically engineered a new breed of beings that were a cross between their DNA and Neanderthal man DNA, or ape DNA, one or the other. But in any case, there were two brothers on this ET crew, and the two brothers were at odds with each other. One brother wanted to create these new beings, i.e. us, humans, wanted to create them so they could breed, so they could have children. And the other brother didn't. And there was a planetary edict about not messing with the evolution of a planet. So putting on a slave that didn't continue was okay. But putting on a being that would have babies, and they would have babies, was not okay. Because now you're changing the evolutionary path of the planet. So the one that wanted to breed the humans or let them breed won. But there was a fight that ensued. And there were these, the humans started breeding like crazy, having children like crazy in the Middle East. And the Anunnaki, the space guys, were acting as gods for these humans, and they were vying for position. They'd each have their city, and they would fight with each other, and they'd each announce they were the only god. And there's a lot of indication that the gods of the Old Testament were actually the spacemen, the Anunnaki. And the, if you, you know, one call we did that was very interesting was Michael Tellinger, who wrote a book about this called Slave Species of the Gods, was talking about how the Old Testament God is such a horrible being in most cases. In other words, if you, I read all the quotes, I don't remember them, but, you know, he was telling people to cut off their arm if they steal something from you, pound, take their eyes out. If someone has cheats on his wife, cut his penis off. I don't remember all the things, but it was, like, horrible. And, you know, when I read it, I said, hey, who is talking here? It doesn't sound like God to me. It doesn't sound like a loving God. And, of course, in the Old Testament, it was the God of fear. And, in fact, things like Sodom and Gomorrah, you never heard me say this, was the one brother nuking a city. And they did. They nuked some cities. And that was scaring the hell out of the people. So they're getting the people to cooperate and do what they said. And so now we have Jesus. We have the Anunnaki. Even the Egyptians were under the spell of the Anunnaki. And the gods of the Egyptians, my take, were Anunnaki. Did you ever ask yourself why the Old Testament has all these different names for God? There's Yahweh, there's Jehovah, who's the other? Adonai, and there's more. But why? I mean, if there's only one God, why does he need three names? It's because there wasn't one God. There was a bunch of Anunnaki all trying to be the God of their township and most cases wanting to expand from that position to owning more, okay? And now, let's go back and look at Ra a second. I'm just putting in little puzzle pieces here. We look at the Ra group. The Ra group says they are a group soul made up of individual souls like yours and mine that graduated this realm. And they came together to form a group because there was more power in a group, and they wanted to evolve planetary populations who were at lower levels. So you get that? Here we are, you and I, we are a planetary population at a lower level, right? And someday, after many lifetimes, depending on our own paths, there's a good chance we'll go back to the Ra group and start working on it from the other side. And in fact, the Ra group says there's 100 million people on our planet who are from their group that volunteered to come back here to help lift the vibration here because there was so much negativity. And another thing the Ra group said is 90 million of those people that came back got lost once they came back. They didn't remember their true mission. So only 10% are actually doing something that's effective. Many people that discover our group are from those 100 million
raw souls that volunteered to come back. And usually, if you're one of those people that feels alienated, if you feel misunderstood, if you're bored with what most people are interested in, and you have understanding of people, but they don't understand you, and there's all these symptoms of being from the rock group, which they call a wanderer, and many people in this realm, actually many of the people that discover our work and keep coming to calls, usually fit into that description as wanderers, beings from the rock group who came to this realm to be of service. And once they're here, it's, where am I? And you know, they try to grow up in the reality systems here, and but they're coming in from a bigger reality system. So when you come in from a bigger reality system and you try to compress yourself into a smaller reality system, your energy is like popping out all over the place. And it's my take, that's why people get ADD and other things, because their high selves are protecting them from getting caught in the reality systems here. And so, you know, now we have the Anunnaki vying for control over the humans, who are now spreading out, making all these different cities, ancient cities in the Middle East. The Anunnaki are playing God for them. The gods of the Old Testament are the gods of the Anunnaki. I believe lots of indication on that. You can just look that up on Google. You'll see loads of pages. Let's put Anunnaki, Old Testament, and you know, if you recall in the Old Testament, it always talks about an angel appearing in a pillar of fire. What's a pillar of fire? It's a UFO, right? So it explains what seems to be some of the miraculous phenomena that's in the Old Testament. Okay, now, I want to go back and do another little point here. And we're going to go back to the rock group, and we're going to go back 500,000 years. And 500,000 years ago, there was a planet in our solar system called Maldek. And this is according to the Ra channelings of Carla Rucker. And Maldek blew itself up and was totally destroyed in a nuclear waste. And the beings on Maldek, when you die in a nuclear explosion, you end up in a tangled mass of fear. That's how it's described. So now the people, the Ra group, took it upon itself to try to untangle all the planetary population on Maldek. We might be talking about a few billion people. I've actually got it in my works to do a call just on Maldek and learn more about Maldek and what it was like before it blew itself up. So Ra is untangling these Maldekian souls, and they're trying to figure out what to do with them. And they look down on Earth and they see, oh, look, there's that Anunnaki group. They're making lots of bodies there. You know, they're having lots of babies. Let's take the Maldekian souls and engineer it so they can occupy the Anunnaki babies. And that will give them a new venue to grow in. And that's what now no one has ever said that but me. When I read the raw material, and I'll have to go back, maybe it's somewhere, and they said, we brought the Maldekian souls to Earth and connected them to the available bodies. That's what I recall reading. But what were the available bodies? In my opinion, it was the Anunnaki. So the Ra group has kind of got a vested interest in the evolution of these tangled souls. So now let's look at what the Ra, from the Ra group's point of view, they're seeing the Anunnaki enslave people, they're seeing them nuke people, and it seems to me that this is their baby, the Ra group's baby, so to speak. So now the Ra group says, how do we fix this? Now, we're connecting the Ra group to Jesus, and that the Ra group gave all the indications of the things that I had uncovered connecting the Ra group to Jesus. And one of the things I didn't mention is the wisdom in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, the overview wisdom of the universe and the lovingness in those channelings. And the Ra group was attempting to impact our planet. And what they did was they worked with Edgar Cayce, established a lot of credibility, and then they planned to bring him in again, which they did. But it was, David didn't want to do it. He didn't want to be a public channel. And so that's when I had my experience, and I don't know if that's what they were thinking, but it was certainly awkward and weird that I'm writing this book, and suddenly they start coming to me through two personal relationships. So many of us might be part of the Malbecians who came in and are trying to unfragment our souls. That's what I was going to do a session on. I want to ask that. Because I want to ask what percentage of the people paying attention to my work have fragmented souls, which means we have to shut. Went to a blank. I'll be back. Hang on a second. Many of the people have fragmented souls. Some of the people do, and we want to learn. Some people are emailing me recently about the idea of soul retrieval, where your soul is fragmented. And, you know, we want to do a session to see if part of the reason for that is being part of the Maldekian group that got caught up in that explosion. So now let's go back to the Old Testament. We have all these Anunnaki vying for God, godship, and control. Now, here is the new piece of information. Where did the idea of Messiah come from? Okay, in the Old Testament, there were all kinds of innuendos and predictions that there was going to be a Messiah coming. Now, if the gods in the Old Testament were all crooked, so to speak, or most of them crooked, where is this prophecy coming from? Well, I was thinking originally, maybe the Ra group was coming through in between all the other stuff and trying to arrange this. But then I was thinking, you know, would it really be the Ra group's style to create a Messiah? Because the premise, the cosmology of the Ra group is the law of one, and that there's no hierarchy. And just the word Messiah creates the implication of a hierarchy, and the Son of God creates an implication of a hierarchy. The idea is not to get you and I to give up our power. We're not supposed to give up our power to some god and to God's will. We're supposed to be learning how to be empowered, and if God had a will that he was going to express, it would be all you can be and love each other and don't hurt each other. And that's it. You know, God doesn't want to be an authority, but even using the word God, it's like maybe a misnomer, because in the absolute sense, it seems to me that God, in the traditional Western way of looking at God, thinking there's a being up there that is just looking down on us, that created everything and can do whatever he wants, is not actually accurate. And the position of God is by and large played by these two group souls, the Elohim group soul and the Ra group. And when I asked the Elohim directly, do you like to be worshipped? They said, no. They said, essentially, they were part of us, and we were part of them. They're just a higher aspect of us, and we're a lower aspect of them. And that the best way of relating is like they're our brother in a higher level. And, you know, as I read the story of the creation of the universe, it's pretty obvious to me the Elohim didn't want to control everything. They wanted everything to grow by its own impetus, and that the interactions between the beings theoretically would cause the growth. So now we have all of these prophecies coming through the Old Testament period, and it doesn't seem like Ra would be prophesizing a Messiah. But the Anunnaki could very easily be prophesizing a Messiah. And one of the more powerful Anunnaki could be creating a stage so that they could have one prophet control everything, be in charge of everything. And so here's my premise. You know, Michael Challenger, who's an expert on this, said that, and so did Sasha, I forget his last name, he was on our call, who studied with Zachariah Sitchin, said that. And so now we have this whole preparation for the Messiah, the birth of Jesus, but it's an Anunnaki preparation designed to have more control of everything. Perhaps it was one of the more powerful God forms, like Enlil, who was engineering the coming of Jesus. And my take on this is that the soul that came in for their Messiah was either a member of the Ra group or started communicating with the Ra group. Surprise! He's not going to follow the party line. He is going to work to liberate people, not to further enslave them. And so he does his Jesus ministry, and, you know, he's working with the higher realms. He's doing miracles, and the Ra group is helping. And he shifted his alliances, that he was born into the alliance, to be born into the Anunnaki projection, and he didn't fulfill it. And maybe that's why he got killed, and maybe that's why the negative quickly came in after his death and took over the church and took over Jesus as someone they could use to control people because his life was so impactful. And those of you that have been on our line regularly heard our conversations with Terry Friedman. And Terry really...
All right. And when the energy gets high, then the phone line drops out, so let's wait for Wynn to come back. Terry Brown, will you please check on Wynn that he knows that he dropped out?
Okay, I'm back.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I'm back. Okay. Terry Friedman has memories of walking around with Jesus. And anyone who's heard him on our calls or read his book knows that he makes a really good case to having actually been with Jesus. Now, Terry Friedman is not a devotee of our work. He's not aware of the Ra Group, but he's heard me talk about it. He's heard us talk about it online, but he hasn't integrated it into his consciousness. He's not even sure about the Elohim group, but his memories of being with Jesus are impeccable, and his work has extremely high frequency attached to it. And so I've got, you know, you guys maybe don't know it, but every time Terry is on the calls, I always sneak in a question, and the answers from Terry have amazed me. Like, one of them was when Jesus knew he was going to be leaving this realm, he told his disciples, don't start a church. Go two by two and minister to the people. And there's the famous saying in the Bible, on this rock I build my church, where Jesus seems to be getting Peter to start a church. Now, Terry Friedman said Jesus never said that. That never came through Jesus, and it was something the negative used, because they wanted to quickly start a church because Jesus had gotten so popular, amongst the people. And so that was one of the things. Another thing that was very interesting that I picked up had to do with Judas. And in Carla Ruckert's Ra material, now in her material they never said what I'm saying. They never connected the Ra group up with Jesus. And they couldn't, because Carla was going to church every Sunday. How could she reconcile that? Would have been too much. But they did. They asked about Judas, and they said that Judas knew he was going to betray Jesus, but so did Jesus. It was part of an inner plan, and Judas was really not a bad guy. And so when I asked Terry Friedman about this, he said exactly the same thing. Another thing that he said was Jesus told his disciples when they would be going into a town, they were going to be doing some work with the people in the town, he said, don't tell them I'm the Messiah. I just want to be a regular guy. So that sounds like the Ra group, okay? So it seems to me that Jesus was forced into this role of being a Messiah, and then he probably did a better job of it than anyone else ever could have. And maybe he was a Messiah in the highest sense of the word. But my take is that Messiah aspect of Jesus just could have been part of an Anunnaki plan to get the ultimate God in this realm and have everyone give up their power.
you know, they're still running that plan in the sense that one of the plans that I've read that I think is true is that they want to bring the world to its knees economically, by war, whichever way, so everyone is really desperate. And then they want to have spaceships land so people will give up their power to these ETs who are going to save us. But they're not going to save us. They'll look like they're saving us. They might even do some miracles. But their whole deal is to get us to capitulate to them energetically. And there's a whole plan to take over this planet by ETs. But that's where the negative works. They know about karma. So they attempt to get people to free willingly surrender, even with trickery, so they get their way. And so it would make sense that they would do that with Jesus and they'd start a church. Even though Jesus said, don't start a church, he probably knew exactly what was going on. And he was playing it out, but he switched allegiances. He was no longer under the Anunnaki control. And he was under the Ra group, who was working through him in order to continue the evolution of the souls from Maldek that had come to this planet. Now, if that sounds far out, it really is. But it's not as far out as God sending his only son into heaven. I hope I don't get anybody mad at me for saying this, but who is God sending his son into this realm? What is God? If God is the Elohim and the Ra group are the closest we have to God, and that they do answer prayers, and they do answer calls, and if somebody says God with a pure heart, they will answer it. They can answer it. And we talk to them all the time on Sundays. So if you're new on the call and this is blowing your mind, don't believe a word of it. Just come Sunday. We don't usually get this esoteric. But I just wanted to put out my thoughts on how this could be and how it could work, why there was a Messiah, why that word was used, and it starts to make a flow in the idea of Jesus, okay, and makes sense. And on that note, I think we're just about finished time-wise, and now, remember, I said, I'm not saying to believe that. Maybe I shouldn't even say it, because if somebody's on the call and has the reverence to Jesus, because even Carla did, then please disregard this call and hold that reverence. I asked a question recently, and the question was, you know, a lot of people believe they have a personal relationship with Jesus. How does that work? How can you have a personal relationship with so many people? And basically they said that Jesus is continuing this work. He's holding the space from the other side. He can operate non-linearly, and there's not a limit to how many people he can work with in this realm to call on him, and that he is answering calls. So what goes around comes around. I'm not taking that away from Jesus by telling this story. And on that note, it's 6:56. I got to take us off from BBS. Thank you all for being here. Send money for Carlos Flowers. 100% of what's sent, except for PayPal charges, are going to go towards that. And it's going to create a huge, beautiful display at the funeral. And Carlos is going to be there appreciating it.